Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is May 16th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Always appreciate everybody being on live. Also mention that I am a couple weeks behind, I realize, on uploading the podcast. So I should have all of those done by tomorrow afternoon or Saturday at the latest. So I think I'm a couple weeks back there. I also wanted to say how much I appreciate topics. So the topic that we have today, as a matter of fact, was one that was submitted by Scott from Alabama. And we're going to discuss some stuff a little later, but wanted to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything I can help you with? Any questions you might have? So this was a week of learning for me, definitely. I actually learned a few things that I had never known before. This week, it was kind of interesting. We actually have an installer class in this week, and it's always interesting to me to see the different ways people install things and the way they build bypasses. And I learned a new way of building a bypass, which it's going to be difficult to describe here on this on the call without showing it, but it was actually pretty cool to see a bypass when you have two pipes close together. So that was pretty cool. But one of the big things that I learned that I never knew before. So last week I had an opportunity to pull out a softener. So I'd gone out and tested this system in the previous week, and the water was hard. So I went to pull the softener out of the house. I had a tank cart. I had a little mini compressor that I always like to blow the water out, so it's much easier to carry it up the stairs. So I hooked that up to the inlet, put it in service, or put it in fast rinse rather, and blew all the water out into the drain on this particular unit, and then disconnected it. And, you know, thinking that it was definitely going to be lighter without the water in it, I was surprised to, when I went to put it on the tank cart, to discover that I could actually lift the thing up with one hand. I mean, it not only was it light because it didn't have water in it, but over the course of several years, it had blown all of the media into the, at some point had blown the media into the drain. It was completely empty. And I don't know if you guys were aware of this, but you know, when they don't have resin inside of the tanks, they actually won't soften the water. Did you, Paul, I know you're on. Did you know that? That was something I wasn't really, that they won't soften the water when they don't have resin in
it. I had heard that the softener had no resin in it, that it compromised its effectiveness somehow.
Somehow I might do that. But anyway, it was a little surprising to me because there are some things that will potentially cause that, right? Of course, if you have the wrong drain line flow control in a softener or no drain line flow control.
Air coming through the line.
Air coming through the line. Anything that would, maybe you have, you know, a cracked distributor tube. Those are things that I was aware of that would cause you to lose resin. What I was not aware of, Paul, you were with me when we did this. Mm-hmm. We took the valve, the head off of this tank, and discovered that it had a turbulator in it. And a turbulator, for those of you that may not be aware, is something that some manufacturers add to a distributor tube that basically sucks some of the resin up through this side tube and spits it out on top. The theory being that it's going to mix the bed It's going to, you know, so it, as the resin is regenerated, it's going to pool the more heavily regenerated resin with the less heavily regenerated resin. And it will, you know, increase the efficiency of the system and allow it to actually soften the water better. I never knew that if a turbulator failed, then it will expel the resin from the, through the system. And I never knew that. And this it was kind of interesting because we pulled it out of the tank, and Paul, you were there next to me, said, "Ah, turbulator, that explains it." And I said, "Well, how does that explain it?" Because I remember learning about turbulators, hearing that they made the systems way more efficient and everything else. Paul, do you want to expand a little bit on what causes a turbulator to go bad? Or
I mean, just for those of you that have never seen one, as Kelly said, it takes some of the resin from the bottom of the tank, it up, and spits it out about halfway up the tank. So in theory, you look at it and you say, no big deal, right? But under the wrong circumstances, it will take that resin and lift it tank. And I had run into this problem years ago where I went out to work on a softener, wasn't softening, so I set it up to recharge every night for a few nights to get it back on its feet, went back out. Right, so I finally pulled it out, took it out, it all apart, and found maybe 3 inches of resin on the turbulator, and it had malfunctioned, and it had blown the resin right down the drain, all gone. So, you know, we didn't use them. I had heard about them literally now probably 40 or 50 years ago that they were more commonly used, and it's been a long time since I had run into one. But yeah, it's one of those things where, like Kelly's saying, once you've seen, and you've seen what it can do when it doesn't work correctly, you'll never forget it, right, Kelly? I mean,
yeah, it was pretty cool. Sure made it easier to pull that softener out of the basement, though. So I actually appreciated it very much. It was nice of whoever had installed that softener 20 years before to put that in so that I when I replaced it, didn't have to, carry out a heavy softener. So I appreciated that. Anybody else have anything that they've learned or want to share this week? So as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, and by the way, Paul, you were kind of breaking up a little bit. Can everybody hear me okay? Am I steady
you're
or so?
Clear.
Okay.
You're
okay. Yeah.
Clear. Maybe just my phone reception. So my apologies.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody could hear me okay. So as I mentioned when we started here, today's topic, and by the way, I appreciate everybody hopping on here. We actually tried to send out an email about today's topic, but there was something wrong with the Constant Contact, the program that we use to send those out, and it for some reason wouldn't go out. So thanks everybody for putting it on the calendars. The topic that we have today was suggested by listener Scott from Alabama. And I thought it was a good one. He suggested a couple guest speakers and topics for the future. So Scott, if you're listening to this, I'm going to work on those. I thought those were excellent topics as well. We're going to see what I can do about getting some guests in on that. I know coming up, we are going to have a representative from Pro Products that's going to come in and talk about some new products that they have that are in part of their sanitizing packages. We had an opportunity this week to host some of the Pro Products people up at the training facility. And I love it when we have, by the way, office people, anybody listening or one of the things that we've been able to do here at the facility is to host office people or people that wouldn't normally have an opportunity to get their hands on some of the stuff, you know, to be out in the field, stuff like that. So keep that in mind, but I really loved it. But we are going to have them on as guests soon. But today's topic is going to be how to kind of build value using soap cost. You know, how to properly build the value to use soap, you know. Now, when I first started in the industry, 26 years ago, I can't even believe it. It's just nuts. So, but when I first started in the industry, it was really common, it seemed like, for people to be using what they called the soap close. And I know that there are still companies out there that do that. And there's a lot of focus on doing the, you know, going through and calculating how much a customer uses in soap, what they're spending on soap. And what I mean by the soap close is we had these soap packages. We were getting it from liquid soap at the time, I think. And we had these soap packages. And the soap's pretty good. I mean, it's designed to work in soft water. The soap packages, you know, they included laundry detergent and lotions and bar soap and dish detergent and window cleaner. And I mean, just a whole bunch of stuff that came out to be valued when you calculated, because it would be like 3 years worth of soap, you know, and it would come out to be valued always higher based on how much they spent on soap and how much they would save on soap, because it assumed that people would no longer be buying soap. The package came out to be way higher than what the cost of, you know, a softener and an RO would generally be. And it was effective. It definitely did work. I stopped using it as a soap close. This was the first, one of the first sales presentation or strategies that I learned when I came in the industry. It was, you know, it was very, you sat down and you did a soap survey with the customer. It was pretty effective. The only reason I stopped using it for myself regularly, and I know that there are lots of companies out there that still use this very effectively, but I had taken some of the soap home. I was married at the time, and I'd taken it home to my wife and asked her to try out the soap and see what she thought. And what I discovered was that she liked her shampoo. She liked her brand of shampoo. She didn't really want to switch to this new, you know, to this other shampoo. And she liked her Tide. You know, she used the Tide and the laundry detergent, you know, she didn't really like it. Now, there were some that she did like. You know, there was the window cleaner, and there was they had the bar soap, the oatmeal honey bar soap, I think it was. And that's the one, by the way, that I saw customers come back and buy in the office. We stocked that one, and people would come back and buy that one. But basically, you would set this up to, you know, you'd make the sale, and then on the follow-up, usually, you would bring all this soap, and they'd have to store it, and it would be like 3 years. Now, there are some companies out there that will, you know, they put it on a delivery system, so it, you know, new soap shows up every so often. I mean, there's a few different ones out there now, but is anybody using that type of a close now? Is anybody using the soap package as a close? Anybody on the call using that currently? Has anybody ever used it? Anybody? Quite a bunch today. So Paul, you something to say?
No. I mean, we never did.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So for me personally, what do you guys think of that close? Let me ask, even if you've never used it, curious why. I'm sure those of you that have been in the industry for a while are familiar with it. Anybody ever seen it used, or what are your thoughts on it?
Kelly, in my case, keep in mind, our typical hardness level that we were running into was 4 to 6 grain.
Yeah.
So, yes, it makes a difference when you soften the water, but it's not like 20 or 30 grain type of difference as far as soap and efficiency. It's mainly much high levels of iron, what was driving.
Right, right. And you really didn't have salespeople in your organization either, right? I mean, there weren't those commissioned
salespeople. We really
salespeople
didn't. We didn't. No, we did not.
Yeah.
It was just my dad and I, basically.
So I'm curious, and I don't know who all is on the call, but has anybody ever run into it? Have you ever run into anybody doing that, using a soap close? So what I wanted to talk about today was sort of a takeaway from that, okay? Because the one thing, even though I never really liked the having to deliver the soft water soap. I mean, I love the concept. I love the concept of soft water soap. It is better on the dishes and stuff like that. But I just found that it's hard to overcome customers' habits. And I think it, in some cases, left a sour taste in their mouth. You know, when they get the soap and they realize that, you know, now they got these boxes of soap and they're not really, I don't know that they always get the value out of it that is proclaimed, you know, that is, that's there. Not eventually. They may feel that when they first buy the system, but not. I don't know if that value lasts. That being said, I think that the skills learned in doing that soap package close can be really, really helpful just in the other ways that we are doing our presentations. And I did take away a lot of that. And one of the things that I tell when I'm training new salespeople that I share with them is one of the things that I love about the sales in this industry is that you never have to – this is a product that you can sell that you don't have to ask them to spend more money. I love that. In fact, by making a sale, they literally – will save money. And soap and, you know, wear and tear on appliances is a big way, but they do need to understand that. I mean, there are two ways of treating water, you know, the hardness in the water in particular, two ways of doing it, hardness or iron, actually, two ways of doing it. You can either do it chemically or you can do it mechanically. And according to the U.S. Geological Survey, 85% of the homes in America have hard water. And so that means that anybody that is treating people are treating their hardness in the water. I mean, anybody who's making anything to work in water, they're making it to work in hard water. And that, you know, and that includes, and I would say especially, it includes the soap manufacturers. In fact, one of the reasons the cheaper generic brand soaps don't work for a lot of people is because they do not have that many chemical water softeners. So it's not necessarily the soap. It's the fact that they don't have the chemical water softeners to basically sequester the hardness in the water. So what those polyphosphates, sodium silicates, those types of things in the soaps, it's always the number one ingredient in the detergents, okay? And what those do is they take the hardness mineral and they surround it. They put sort of like a candy coating or an M&M shell around that hardness mineral. And that keeps the calcium and magnesium in the water from sticking to the glasses and the dishes. That is also, by the way, why when you have a water softener and you still continue to use the expensive soaps or the soaps with the blue or green added, you know, the tablets with the blue or green, that blue or green that's in there, that's chemical water softener. All that is Jet Dry is chemical water softener. And we'll talk about that and how to kind of build the value in a second, but that's chemical water softener. And so that's why your glassware gets etched up when you have a water softener, because you put the glasses in the dishwasher. The dishwasher heats the water up. The glassware becomes soft, especially the more expensive glassware. Those chemical softeners have nothing to stick to. They don't have any, there's no calcium there to stick to, so they etch themselves to the side of the glassware. And that will ruin those dishes. So chemically or mechanically. So as I was saying, one of the things that I love about the industry is that you don't have to ask people for more money. You just have to make them realize that all you're asking them to do is to stop spending it on the soaps and detergents and to transfer that over to to a mechanical water softener. Now, that doesn't work if we don't educate them about using less soap, by the way. Because if they don't cut down their soap usage, if they're using the exact same amount of soap, then it doesn't do any good. Now they are spending more money, and they're doing harm to their dishes and stuff like that. So we have to educate them when we're talking about soap and building the value. So how do we go about doing that? I really think it comes down to questions. First off, look at those relevant questions. Ask them what their usage habits are. What type of soaps are they using? Are they adding Jet Dry in there? And jot down the number. That was one of the things from that soap close that I liked, is to write down that number so that you can add it up. You say for every $100 that you spend at the grocery store, roughly how much of that would you say is spent on non-grocery items, non-food items? So soaps, detergents, cleaners, that type of thing. And you can think about the different soaps and detergents that they're using throughout the entire home. What are they using in the bathroom? Are they using the spray cleaner in the bathroom, to get the spotting off? Are they using Jet Dry in the dishwasher? Are they using, cleaners to get spotting off of, shower doors or what are just all the different soaps, laundry, how much are they using in the laundry? Are they adding extra softener to the laundry? Are they, how much are they using? How many, how often are they buying these soaps and detergents? And you can calculate on a conservative percentage what they are spending monthly on all of the soap that they're using. And now you have a number. You get that rough number. What I always like to do to build the value up was to, I use the 75% less number. Okay, you can literally use about 75% less soap and detergent when you have soft water, when you have a mechanical water softener, than you do when you're treating it chemically. And the way I didn't just come up with that 75% number arbitrarily. I actually carry a dishwasher owner's manual. Any of them will work. It does not matter which brand or which manufacturer you use, but I carried a dishwasher owner's manual to demonstrate this, to demonstrate the value of having a mechanical softener in. Every dishwasher owner's manual out there is going to have a page or usually two or three pages dedicated to soap usage. And it will tell you very specifically the amount of soap that you need to use is going to be based on how hard your water is. Most water softener or most dishwasher owner's manuals out there that I see actually will tell you right in there that if you have over, usually they say 12 grains, I find, if you have over 12 grains of hardness, that the soap's not going to do it. You're going to need to buy a water softener. They tell you that you can find out your hardness at usually your local water softener company can test for it, or they tell you that a water softener is recommended in that dishwasher. But then when you look at it, they'll usually tell you exactly how much soap. So they'll say, 0 to 3 grains, one tablespoon, or one, I think the one that I have, that I show people says 2 tablespoons, or teaspoons of soap. When you get up into the 10 grains of hardness level, it says 8 teaspoons of soap. That's literally 75% more. That's 4 times as much soap as with soft water. So I can show them let's say that they, that they're spending, $30 a month on soaps and detergents, their various soaps and detergents. Okay. Actually, just because I don't feel like really having to calculate hard math, let's do 40. Let's say they it's a family of 5. They're spending $40 a month, which I don't think is a unrealistic number. I think that's pretty common for most people when you add up, a thing of Tide, thing of dishwashing, you know, you start adding it up. I bet $40 a month is pretty reasonable. But if they're spending $40 a month and I can show them that they can use 75% less soap and detergent, they're literally saving $30 a month just on their soap and detergent. Now I take $30 a month times 12, I got $360 a year that they are saving by having mechanical water softener. Take that times 5, you know, 360 times 5 is pretty close to the cost of most water softeners out there. I can do the math. It's what, 1500, close to $2,000, right? That they have over 5 years time. And now they've actually paid for that water softener just in the soap usage. That's not even counting the studies that you can show, you know, the life expectancy of your appliances when it comes to using soft water. Or maybe, you know, it's the amount of, we use more energy and oil and manufacture, recycle, and transport our plastics in this country than we do in our cars. You know, so, you know, the energy independence that you can use. Or think about the you know, 75% less soap means 75% less plastic to store the soap, means 75% less plastic going into the oceans and landfills, you know, that we use. So you can use that to, I mean, the cost alone should be enough to start that. You know, you can do the same thing with bottled water when it comes to reverse osmosis. But the cost savings alone is enough to pay for that water softener several times over. I mean, even if you have a 5-year warranty on the softener, and a lot of companies out there have, you know, 10-year warranties or longer, but a 5-year warranty, you're still under warranty. You know, you're basically paying for that softener by cutting down the soap usage. Any thoughts on this? Last couple minutes.
No, Kelly, I think your point is a good one. When you're talking about, like, when you were married and you brought the soap home and your wife had a preference, you're exactly right. I mean, I said to Patty when we got engaged that I would provide her with Bounty paper towels, Tide, and Dawn for dishes. <It's> like, that's what she wanted. So, you know, it's a really good point, because you could argue all day long that soap product that I could get for her that's designed for soft water is better, but that's not what she wants.
Yeah. 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 Any thoughts on this last couple minutes here? Anybody? Well, that is, that's our time then. So I appreciate you guys hopping on and listening. Like I said, definitely appreciate the idea, Scott. If you're listening in, I appreciate the suggestion for the topic. A good one. I hope that satisfied what you're looking for. As for everybody else, I definitely always appreciate the ideas, the topic ideas. It helps me not have to come up with this stuff on my own. So with that, I will talk to you guys next week, if not before. So be safe, everybody. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Kelly.